Okay. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Put your hand up if you slept really well.
I did.
Did anybody? Okay, hands down. Did anybody else have horrendous dreams? Because I did. Yeah, can we just like have a moment of sympathy and crying for us? It's okay, though, because we prayed about dreams this morning, actually, in our leaders' meeting. So we're not going to have any more bad ones. We're going to have good ones. By the way, if you guys have any good, godly, like, vision dreams for the rest of the week, we prayed for that this morning. So come and tell us. Tell your counselor. If you're like, I saw Jesus in my sleep, then come and tell us, because that would be really cool. So I'm going to pray really quickly. I'd like you guys to pray with me, because I feel like God told me that as I spoke today, he was going to come and do something powerful. So today isn't about the amazingness of me. It's really about how, like, as just we're here this morning, God wants to come and do things in your heart, which in 2, 5, 10 years' time, you will see the difference of, and like in every part of your life. So pray with me. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the weather, which I love because it's not too hot. And God, thank you for this camp. Thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you for the plan that you have for us to change the world around us. Pray that you'd come and move right now. And Jesus, we make this about you, and I give you my heart. And just come and do what you want to do. Amen. So the theme of camp is, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the hand. Put up your hand if you think you're a hand. Who's a foot? Anyone a nose? An ear? So you guys understand that we are literally the body of Christ. Have you guys ever heard like a preacher man call us the body of Christ? Or sometimes they say, beloved, are you listening to me? Body of Christ. So body of Christ is one of the names of the church because Jesus is the head and we are literally his body. So this week we're going to talk about what that means. This morning I'm going to specifically talk about just kind of that because it seems kind of weird and irrelevant and doesn't really mean much unless you kind of explain it and see what it really means. So I'm not going to take very long this morning, but hopefully, I've actually got a couple of crazy things which God has shown me which have really changed my life and changed my understanding, and they actually really amaze me, kind of the, some of the things which are in his word and some of the truths about you and me and who we are. Did you guys know that you are the main way God interacts with this world? You guys know that God can do things sovereignly. Has anybody heard? Do you know what sovereign means? Sovereign basically means I am the boss, and I do whatever I want, whenever I want, for whatever reason I want. That is, so God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to come and change Anne's hair purple right now, then he can do it. And you better be repenting hard because it could happen. I'm just kidding. But basically the idea is God can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. So God can do something sovereign. He can come and do something just by himself. And God often does things like that and he likes to do things like that. But I actually think the main way which God does things in the world is through you and me. And you guys have heard that a lot and it doesn't really mean much, but the way that God, the primary way that God is going to save the world, change the world, and love the world is through you and me. That's what it means to be his hands and feet. You and I are a literal extension of Jesus to the world. Jesus is in heaven right now. He's coming back soon. He's going to split the sky, come with millions of angels, and set up his kingdom. But until that day, we are him in this world. We're the part of him which is on walking the earth. So, has anybody got a Bible? Open up a Bible. This row has one, so you guys are all craning your necks to Abby Shunker. If you've got a Bible, open it up now. I'm going to read very quickly Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So this is God talking about Jesus. I want to see if you can remember this when I get halfway through, it's going to make more sense. And he is God, he put all things under his feet, which is Jesus. So this is talking about God and Jesus. So God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him, it's Jesus, to be the head over all things and the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church and that you and I are the church, which is his body, and that we contain the fullness of God. Do you know that in you and I is the full presence and measure of God? You know when Jesus like went to the tomb and he was like, Lazarus, come out. You've been dead for 3 days and you smell really bad. But I'm so powerful, I can say a word and you will come back to life. The fullness of what lived in Jesus lives in the people in this room. People think like the most powerful forces in the world are like the American military or like, what's the Canadian one? CSIS? CSIS, you don't know who we are, but we're here and we can kill you if we want. Like these like secret agent people are supposed to be the most powerful, and I'm sure they are powerful, but really, did you guys know that the body of Christ is by far the most powerful force in the whole world? And you guys are a part of it? Like, you know, CSIS is pretty cool. No one knows who they are, where they are, but we can raise people from the dead. Josh, you're not in CSIS. I know you're not. Don't worry. You guys are the most powerful force in the world. I'm gonna talk a bit about why, because If you know you have power, but you don't know why, it's kind of useless and meaningless and doesn't bring you fulfillment. But I'm going to teach you a little bit today why you have power, how you have power, and what's it all for. So that basically said, Jesus is the head of the church and the fullness of God lives in us. So we are all Jesus' body, but we're all individuals. Did you guys know that in the church, you don't lose your individuality? If you want to have purple hair, Anne, go for it. You are allowed to be an individual. What's this verse? 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but God now has set the members, so members are like the parts of the body, each one of them in the body just as he pleases. So every single one of you guys is a specific part of the body of Christ, and God has taken you and molded you and made you and said you are special, you're valuable, you have a purpose, and I'm putting you in this part of my body. God has specifically positioned you in a certain part of his body. Put up your hand if you were born in Canada. So most of the room, okay. Okay, put down your hand. Put up your hand if you weren't born in Canada. Some of us. But us who weren't born in Canada, we're in Canada now. You guys were born in Canada for a reason. We're here for a reason. We're in the parts of school we're in for a reason. We have different talents and abilities. And I'm not just talking like, I'm good at drawing. Oh, I'm good at painting. Like, we have different amazing characteristics which are supernatural, which are within us. And every single one of you have been placed in Jesus, in his body, and in the world for a reason. So that gives you guys significance, that God has thought about you and placed you in a way that pleases you, him, and us. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys an example. Talked a little bit about why we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to change the world, What does that really look like? I want to make an example, which I came up with, like, last night I had a really bad sleep. Like, I wasn't dreaming very well. But I got up, like, in between two nightmares. And I was like, oh, that's an amazing idea of what to say tomorrow morning. I, like, typed it up on my iPad. I'm like, oh. So it was that, basically, a really good example is Ben and Dave and this camp. Okay? So take this example. Let me see what I wrote down at midnight last night. So Dave, Ben, and the camp are a great example. Ben is the overall leader. He is in charge of everything in the camp. We've rented this campground, so all of us are under Ben. He is the overall authority. But David Shunker, next to him, has been given all of Ben's authority. And Ben, this year especially, I don't know if you guys are really aware of this, but he's very much the head of the camp, but he's passing a lot of responsibility to David Shunker because he wants to raise him up, because Dave is a really capable and great man, and he's able to do a lot of the things which Ben has been doing in previous years. So Ben is very much the head of the camp, but a lot of the things that he's doing through David Shunker. So I want you guys to imagine this. Okay, Ben is Jesus. Not really, but in this picture, Ben is Jesus. Imagine if I just preached that. My message today is Ben is Jesus. So that's not true. Don't quote me on that. But in this analogy, Ben is Jesus. David Shunker is the church, me and you. The campground is the world, and all of you guys are the people in the world, all of mankind. You guys get that analogy in your brain? So Ben, just like Jesus, is the overall authority. If he wants, he can come to the campground, he can walk around, and he can do whatever he wants, just like Jesus can. And Jesus does come and walk the earth by his spirit today and do sovereign things and things like that. But the main way which Ben is interacting with you and me, mankind, on this campground is through David Shunker, which is the church. So you guys know, if David Shunker says, you're late, you're getting laked, you're going to get laked. And the reason is because he is under Ben and he carries Ben's authority. Dave doesn't have his own authority. Dave has what Ben has. So if whatever Ben says goes, and Ben has said, David is my sidekick, which I think Ben would be quite pleased if he kind of thought that Dave was his sidekick. But Dave is next to me and he has my authority. So if you come to Ben and you were kind of like, no, and he was like, what did David Shunker say? He said, well, David Shunker says this, but Ben will say, well, I've given him my authority, so whatever he says, that is what it has to be. So basically, Ben has given David Shunker his authority, and that's exactly what it's like with Jesus and the church and the world. So Jesus is the overall head of the world, and he has all authority. That verse we read at the start is he's been given all authority. Everything is under his feet. But we are the church, and we are the main way which God interacts with the world around us. So if Ben wants something done in the camp, remember the analogy. If Jesus wants something done in the world, what are the kind of things Jesus wants done? People saved, people healed, people free, people happy, people joyful, people full of love. These are the things which God wants in the world. If Ben wants something done in camp, he'll say, Dave, can you go and do this for me? And Dave will say, sure, I know I can do it. I've got your authority. I'm just going to go and get it done. And there's no question that it won't be done. Does that make sense? So if Jesus wants something done in the world, if Jesus is like, I want the city of Toronto to know who I am. I want them to be free of their sin. I want them to be full of joy. Who does he talk to? Who does he go to? Point. you and me. You are the, that's what it's like. Does that make more sense with that analogy? If Ben's like, I want to give this person 3,000 points. He'll say, Dave, go and give this person 3,000 points. Dave will go. He will go to Belle and be like, your team has done amazingly. You have 3,000 points. Here's some chocolate. And Belle's like, yay. So it's just like in the world, if Jesus says, I want this person healed, he talks to Sheldon and he says, Sheldon, I've given you my authority. I am able to grow this person's arm back and they really want it back. So go and do it. Sheldon is like, okay, not that it would be like, but anyway, so do you guys get that kind of picture? God wants stuff done in the world and you're the main way he does it. Do you guys believe that about yourself? Legit, okay. I never use that word in Scotland. That like freaks me out, those words. Anyway, sorry, that was weird. So that's kind of true. What does that actually practically look like and what does that mean? I want to read a verse with you guys which really shocked me when I understood it. Have you guys ever read a verse in the Bible and be like, okay, good, and you just kind of keep going and you don't even make an effort to understand what it means? Like you just kind of completely blank it. This verse I did that with for so long, and it's so long and difficult to understand. Anyway, now I understand it, so we're all going to understand it, so don't worry. If you've got your Bible, go to, first of all, let's read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So this is the verse which basically shows that you and I have been given the authority of Jesus. So we are his body in the world. And Jesus said this to his disciples, and he said it to you and me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's what Jesus said to me and you, and that's the kind of place we're in with his body. All the authority has been given to Jesus to do everything and anything, and that authority has been given to you, and you've been sent to change and transform the world for the better. So this is that verse I was talking about, this bigger one. It's a bit of like a long sentence one. Put up your hand if you actually have a Bible. I don't want to feel like I'm reading by myself. That's lonely. So some of us. Okay, so read along with me. See a Bible, like look for a Bible if you can. And if you don't have a Bible, try and follow the story and understand it in my mind, in your mind, because I'm going to like talk about this and it will give you real insight into what I just talked about. Honestly, this is an amazing verse. It's Matthew 8, 5 to 10. Okay, such a cool story. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now, listen to this bit. This is the important bit. If you understand this, it will change your life. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So that guy basically said, paint the picture. I am a centurion. I've come to Jesus. I said, my servant is dying. I really care about him. Can you please heal him? Jesus says, I will come and heal him for you. So Jesus is like, okay, I've got an idea. So Son of God, fully God, his idea is, I will come and heal him for you. But the centurion says, you don't have to do that. I understand if you even say it from here, my servant will be healed. Long distance, heal speak. If you say it, then he will be healed. And I believe that. But then the centurion gave a really interesting reason as to why. He said, for I also am a man under authority, saying to this person, go, and he goes, saying to this person, do this, and he does it. So a centurion, what is the authority that he's under? History lesson, huh? No, the authority that he is under, not that he has. You guys think? A civilization? Roman. So Rome, the centurion's authority comes from Rome. He is under Rome. Rome is like the world superpower. If you mess with Rome, you are dead, like completely dead. So if the reason a centurion comes to you, if a centurion comes to you and say, you have to do this, or he goes to one of his men and says, you have to do this, the reason that person knows they have to do it is because this guy represents Rome, which is the world superpower. If a centurion tells you to do something, Rome is telling you to do something, so you have to do it. And there is no question. Do you guys understand that? Because it's because he is under an authority, that's what means everything which he says gets done. Does that make sense? And then he says, this is why I believe that you can heal my servant, because you also are a man under authority. What's the authority above Jesus? God the Father. So he said, basically, if God the Father is the authority, kind of like Rome, if God the Father says do something, then something gets done straight away without question, no matter what. And he said, just like I am under Rome and I can say to this servant, do this, you are under God and you can say to this person, be healed, and he has to be healed. Do you guys understand that? So the reason that's important is because in that verse which I read before, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me and now I'm sending you. So what's the authority you guys are under? Jesus. Well done. We got it. Full marks. So we are under the authority of Jesus. Jesus has been given all authority. If Jesus says to someone, come up and be healed, can you guys think, did Jesus ever have like a mishap? Did Jesus ever like stutter and it not work? Like, be healed? Oh, no. Never mind. Did Jesus ever fail? Did Jesus ever be like, oh, he's not being healed. Hide him. Get him away from the crowd. This isn't working. Jesus had 100% success rate. If Jesus said be healed, then he was healed straight away. And all authority has been given to Jesus. If Jesus says to a city, be transformed, be filled with love, be filled with joy. If Jesus says to your school, I want you guys to know how special you are. I want you guys to be free of shame and bondage. Do you guys think that it's going to get done? But Jesus isn't the one who's coming to do it. We are under his authority and he's sending us. So the reason we have power as his body is because if you say to someone, be healed, then you have the authority of Jesus and so it has to happen. Does that make sense? So all we have to do is basically come to that place in our own hearts where we believe the authority that we're under, the position that we have, and what we're called to do. Okay? So the question is, remember I said at the start, you can know the authority and the power that you have, but if you don't know why, it doesn't really make much sense. Like, it's really the why behind the what which gives us meaning and significance as people. Like, you can be the most powerful person in the world, but if there isn't a reason for it, which is centered around love, then it's meaningless. So why are we the Christ's body? Why are we able to transform the world? Why are you guys able to do, you guys hear all the time, you're able to heal the sick, raise the dead, stuff like that. And I believe that, and I know it's true. Have you guys ever seen someone healed? Anyone ever seen someone healed? It's pretty cool. Really, understanding why is such an important thing. So I'm going to talk about that really quickly. Basically, Jesus is the head of the body, and you guys know that Jesus could save the world by himself if he wanted to. Do you guys understand that? Like, he sent us to preach the gospel, but if Jesus wanted to, he could have done it himself. He could have got angels to do it. God could have figured out a way. Like, if he had wanted to get the Great Commission, tell everyone about me, to someone else, he would have given it to someone else. But he was determined that you guys would have that job. He was determined that his church would have that job. Can you guys think why? Why do you think you guys are Christ's body? Why is it your job to do things like transform the world? Because we need to understand the why otherwise. Yeah, Dave? That's a really good point. Yeah? So Dave was basically saying, like, if it was angels doing it, it would just be kind of like God. And angels are maybe less able to relate to humans. That's definitely true. And we are. John, did you? That's just a scratch. Just a wee scratch. Oh, no. You got one? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's another good point. He said, if an angel shows up and says, believe, why? Joshua, did you have one? Yeah, that's a good point. These are all good points. I was thinking of it more from the point of view is, why has Jesus given us the job to change the world? Can you guys think of another identity which the church has? We're his body. We're also his bride. The Bible says, as a young man looks upon his bride, so the Lord looks upon you. Or as a young man rejoices over his bride, so the Lord rejoices over you. And you guys, okay, woman, maybe you, I don't know, young girls, if you quite fathom yet what men feel like when they finally find the girl who they love, and it's like, can you please want something so I can go and do it for you? Like, please. Like, that is actually what it's like. The ridiculousness and stupidness which men get to when they find the one girl who they want to love, it's like, there is nothing. If you want him to stand on his head for 4 days, he will. Like, it's just going to happen. And the Bible basically says that's how God looks at his church. That sounds almost blasphemous, but it's actually in the Bible. God looks at his church that way, and he's like, I love you so much, I don't want to do anything without you. When you first meet men, young men, when you first meet the girl you want to marry, you're not going to want to be apart from her for a moment, and you want to do everything with her. That is why Jesus has given us the job of being his body, of transforming the world, of healing the sick, raising the dead. It's not just, oh, you're healed. Good. That was fun. It's like, I did this because Jesus loves you, and he loves me, and I'm his bride. This is a love relationship transforming the world. Does that make sense? So that is the why behind the what. So, basically, today, that maybe doesn't make Does anything of what I said this morning kind of make sense to anyone? Cool. So all of this week, we're going to be talking about different parts of that. But I just want to, right now, as I end, and we're going to pray and go and have an amazing day, I want to kind of end with a thought for the whole of camp. I want you guys to have a perspective for the whole, however many days we have left, okay? Here's the perspective. God wants to transform the world through you, but first of all, he wants to transform you. And so this week, I want you guys to see it as I'm going to be transformed by God this week, by his love, by his kindness, by his power. And then from that place, I'm going to go out and be able to transform other people. That's what this week is about. That's what Hands and Feet is about. You're called and you're destined and you're made to be in a love relationship with God and be used to change the world. That's only going to happen to the degree to which you are first transformed. And that's what this week is about. You guys are at the beginning of a week where God has free reign to change your life. And it's pretty exciting. So, can you guys all stand up with me? And I just want to lead us in a prayer right now. Is anybody excited about being Christ's body, his hands and feet? Yes. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for your passion for us. Thank you that we are your bride and you love us. God, thank you that there is a world which is waiting for us. Thank you that we are in this room the most powerful force in the whole world, and the world is waiting to be transformed by us. But God, we know that we first need to be transformed. I myself am included in that. So Jesus, I pray for every heart here, and I thank you for your heart, and I pray that you would transform all of us by your love and by your power. We're standing up and we're saying, here we are, God. We want to be your hands and your feet. We want to go to this world and change it. We need you to change us first. So this way, have your way, God. Open up our hearts and change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are all loved massively by God, and he's going to do something in you this week. So be excited. Amen. Grab a seat.